Alhamdulillah, my respected elders and brothers, with Allah's grace and mercy, tonight we have completed half of the 18 juz. So we have, Alhamdulillah, completed up until Surah An-Nur, and we have read three pages of Surah An-Nur. The first surah which we recited was part of Surah Al-Anbiya. The name is very quiet. The name alone tells us the subject matter of this surah, Anbiya, which means prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about various Anbiya. You probably heard those names with the name of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and followed by Lut alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Sulaiman and Dawood. But one theme that we find with regard to most of these prophets which Allah ta'ala mentions in the surah is that Allah mentions the dua and the prayer of these prophets. I'm just going to discuss one or two of these, or maybe just one of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks of the dua of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam said, رَبِّ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الْضُرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Oh Allah, I have been overcome with affliction. I have been overcome with affliction, with calamity. وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And you are the most merciful of all those who show mercy. This was the dua of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had tested him. Ayyub alayhi salam was a very prosperous person. Allah had given him lots of wealth. Allah had given him lots of children. Then suddenly calamity struck. Disaster struck. The roof of his house caved in. All his children were killed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away his wealth in that way also. And he himself became ill. And all this period that he was in this illness and going through this test, never did Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam ever complain. And therefore it's commonly known as the sabr of Ayyub. Now my respected brothers and sisters, this is the story, and maybe most of us, we are familiar with the story. But Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam made this dua after going through great amount of difficulty and trial. And then finally he made this dua when he found that even his wife always remained beside him and always remained at his side in order to do his khidmah and to remain in his service. But after some time, when he realized that his wife was also getting desperate, then he made this dua to Allah that, oh Allah, calamity has afflicted me and you are the most merciful of all those who shower mercy. Now the point that we like to drive here is that this was a Nabi of Allah. He was a prophet of Allah. And a prophet of Allah went through all this untold amount of difficulties. And if you look at what we read yesterday, and I'm just going to tie all this in together. We read yesterday with regard to Musa alayhi salam's story, and we read with regard to one aspect of Musa alayhi salam's story, where Musa alayhi salam now, after Fir'aun has been dealt with, and Musa alayhi salam is going now to go and collect the Torah. He's going to collect the Torah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a moment like an awards evening. You know what we have in awards evening? But even greater than that, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is going to receive the Torah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's also taken a large group of people with him from the Banu Israel. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam hastily, quickly he goes to Mount Tur. Before his people, while his people are following him, but he gets there quickly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, O Musa, وَمَا أَعْجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ مَيَّا مُوسَى. O Musa, what made you come so quickly? And you've left your nation behind you, they're still training behind you. What made you come so quickly? So he said, O Allah, I have come here, لِتَرْضَى, so that you could become pleased with me. I came here so that I could get an exclusive with you. You always wanted that exclusive with Allah. I could get this exclusive with you. And you'd see how much of yearning I have. And I have this yearning in me, and that's why I came quickly and hastily. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّا قَدْ فَتَنَّا قَوْمَكَ مِنْ بَعْدِكَ وَعَضَلَّهُ مُسَابِرِي. Oh Musa, you've come here quickly, appreciated, but your nation behind you, they have been to God, they have gone into deception, and they have begun worshipping a cow. He had told his nation, wait, I'm going now to go get the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll take a group of people with me so that they could also witness this great occasion. It's a great moment for me. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, happily, and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, probably ecstatic. Who wouldn't be ecstatic as a Nabi of Allah is going to be receiving the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for himself as well as for his nation. He goes there in yearning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, in hoping for Allah's pleasure. He goes quickly, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Musa, what brought you here so quickly? Do you know you left your nation and they're following you, they're telling you, but they have ended up worshipping the calf. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, faraja'a Musa ila qawmi ghadbana asifa. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam returns to his nation and is extremely displeased. Now again, this is a Nabi of Allah. In our life, my respected brothers and sisters, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do various things. For example, now the month of Ramadan started. And as the month of Ramadan started, we sort of adjusted our lives. And then we said, oh Allah, this Ramadan, I really want to make it the best Ramadan of mine. Oh Allah, I really want to, make this an exclusive of mine. And we go out of our way, particularly in the early days of Ramadan, in the first few days of Ramadan. We go out of our way in terms of our ibadah, etc., etc. And despite doing all this ibadah and whatever we do, we find that we are tested. We find that our difficulties just keep on mounting. The trials that we have ahead of us just keep on mounting. We have made a kind of a pledge to Allah, oh Allah, this Ramadan I'm going to try and complete 2 Qur'ans. Alright? And we just barely get home, and we come to realize something's wrong with my car, something is wrong. Everything is just getting messed up. And I can't even meet these ends of mine. And then we sometimes turn to Allah and we say, oh Allah, but I did this little dua so that you could become pleased. So that you could become pleased. I did this for you. I did this ibadah for you. And despite that, I'm still going through all this. So my respected brothers and sisters, and when we reflect back onto the story of Musa and Ayyub alayhi salam, we'll come to realize that no, this trial that Allah is putting us through and the challenge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting us through is not something which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just putting some kind of an obstacle cause in front of us. This is a challenge which Allah gave to His most beloved. So if we are doing ibadah, if we are doing the ibadah of Allah and we have suddenly changed our life, but we see no light at the end of the tunnel, and we see that we are not going anywhere, we are not getting any, things are just becoming worse and worse, and even more troublesome and more, the tribulations are just mounting one on top of the other. Then think back of Musa alayhi salam. And think back of Ayyub alayhi salam. And can you be like Musa alayhi salam and be like Ayyub? Musa alayhi salam did not lose hope at that moment. But Musa alayhi salam, of course he was angry, he got back. But he dealt with the situation. Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam did not go on complaining to Allah, but he dealt with the situation. And how did he deal with it? He made dua. He made sabr for the major part of that tribe. And at the end, he made dua to Allah. What was the dua? The dua was not, oh Allah, why did you only have to test me? Did you only find one person to test? No. He didn't say that to Allah. But he said, Rabbi anni masani abdurru. Oh Allah, now this tatleef, this discomfort has gotten to me. This company has gotten to me. وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And you are the most merciful of all those who show mercy. It is said that when he made this dua, I mentioned this before too, but now that he's mentioned it again. When he made this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah responded to him saying, oh Ayyub, I was waiting for these words from you. I was waiting for this from you. So what was the delay? So he replied to Allah, he said, oh Allah, you gave me so many bounties, and so many ni'mat you gave me before this year. And I enjoyed children, and I had wealth, and I had so much. I felt embarrassed, and how could I ask you to give me a little trial? It wasn't a little trial, it was a major trial. But oh Allah, compared to the amount of bounties you gave me, if I could compare it, then yeah, Allah, this was something small, and I felt embarrassed to ask you to uplift. So my respected brothers, Allah talks about the du'as of Anbiya, so He talks about the du'a of Ayyub alayhi salam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the du'a of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam, and the du'a of Zakariya. But one more thing with regard to Ayyub alayhi salam's du'a, which we will link with the next surah which we read, which is Surah Al-Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is spot on, this verse is spot on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, from amongst you, are people, يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. They do the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while just being on the fence. Just being on the fence. Ala had means they are just on an edge. They are on an edge while they do the ibadah. فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اِطْمَأَنَّ. If something good happens, they say, Alhamdulillah, I can't die. Things are happening. Allah, I'm become Allah's beloved. فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ. When good happens to them, اِطْمَأَنَّ. They become content. They become complacent. Content is one thing. Content is actually a ni'mat of Allah. But complacent is when we think, oh, mine is okay, I'm okay. Everybody else is bad and I'm okay. That's complacency. When a person becomes complacent. So they become complacent. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ. But as we know that this world is not a world where you only see good and you only see everything going smoothly. When suddenly the storm comes, Allah says, when we test them, Allah says, khayr. When khayr comes to them, then immediately they itma'anna, they become complacent. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ, and Allah doesn't say, the opposite of khayr is shar. Right? The opposite of good should be bad. Allah doesn't say bad afflicts them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when my test afflicts them. When they are afflicted with my test, in qalaba ala wajhi, they turn around. In qalaba ala wajhi means to turn your back on Allah, so to say. They turn their back. Is this what we do? I became a Muslim. I did this. Yeah, I'm a Muslim. I'm a practicing Muslim. And after all that, all this must still happen to me. Allah ta'ala says, khasira dunya wal akhirah. Their dunya also they've lost, and their akhirah also they've lost. The dunya also they have lost, and the akhirah also they have lost. So whenever we are faced with these trials, and whenever we are faced with difficulty, and whenever we are faced with any kind of, you know, catastrophic moments in our life, my respected listen, let us look back, reflect back on Anbiya alayhi wasalam. It happened to Ayyub. If I lost a child, it happened to Ayyub alayhi wasalam. If I lost wealth, Ayyub alayhi wasalam lost much more wealth than I lost. If I have lost my health, then Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam was afflicted with an illness too. If my people have kind of, you know, gone against me, my own family have discarded me, my people have gone against me. Think of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, his own Bani Israel. They ended up, the people who he nurtured, he looked after, he brought them up, they ended up worshipping an idol. So my respected brothers and sisters, this is in Surah Al-Anbiya. The theme of Surah Al-Anbiya is talking about the Anbiya. And then in Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks, just on the first page, or just, one and a half page, وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ حَامِلَةً. Allah talks about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about His qudrah and about His power and the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His bounties upon us. But one particular verse, Allah says, وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ حَامِلَةً. You see that the earth is absolutely arid and it is barren. There is nothing that grows on that earth. The earth is absolutely added and there's nothing that grows on it. وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ حَامِدَةً فَإِذَا أَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ اهْتَزَّتْ. Then suddenly we send water, we send rain. اهْتَزَّتْ. It becomes, it blooms and it becomes lush and green. اهْتَزَّتْ means it satisfies your soul. اهْتَزَّتْ. اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ وَأَنْبَتَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ زَوْجٍ بَهِيمٍ. When this rain comes, suddenly this rain brings about lush and green. That land just before going to the land was absolutely arid. There was nothing on that land. But suddenly after the rainfall, we find all the greenery comes about. The plants come out. There is birds chirping around. There is this lively atmosphere around. What about Muhammad? I mean, pull his own in the heat. My respected brothers and sisters, this verse is literally too infigurative to. Literally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that. Literally, you find in many parts of the world, but even you find normally when it's dry, here you don't really get much of a dry season. Okay. But there are certain parts. We have in South Africa, we have a part of the desert, it's called Springbok. It's actually northern Cape. And this area is desert, it's absolutely desert. It's called the Kalahari, it's part of the Kalahari Desert. You know, it's absolute desert. But in one time of the year, that is around August to September, there is rainfall that comes. And people travel from all over the world to come and see this. It's an amazing phenomenon. People come, when you look at the place prior to August, you'll find that there's nothing that can grow. You don't even think an insect can live there. That's how dry and hot and it is, you know, it's absolute desert. But in August and in September, there is rainfall. And the showers that come down, you know, very, very strongly. And in a few weeks, in about 2 weeks, you find everything begins to grow. That it, you know, everything becomes green and lush. And these plants give off their flower, their shoots and their flowers. And it is so beautiful, it is so beautiful. That when you are there in that period, you can never even imagine that this was ever the desert. And then after that, as the period goes away and the rain stops, then again it returns back. And everything gets eaten up again. Allah's amazing qudrah. Now this is, literally this happens. But figuratively to my respected brothers, that is our hearts. Figuratively, our hearts are in desert. Nothing grows on them. So much so that our hearts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sometimes the heart is even become more harder than a rock. Our hearts become hard, they become solid, and nothing grows on this heart. Allah then blesses us with the rain of Ramadan. This rain of Ramadan comes, as the rain of Ramadan comes, prior to this year we were like a desert. There was no good thought even crossing my mind. There was not even a good, I could not even get my mind to think of something good for a short while. The month of Ramadan has come and it brings about the blush and the clean everything. This is the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He draws us here to, He draws that lush and green, He allows that ibadah to take place, He allows us that transformation to take place. Allah make it such that we keep that transformation inshaAllah, and we remain steadfast on it inshaAllah. Then my respected brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, in this surah, the ayah was revealed which allowed jihad to begin. Up until then it was told to the sahaba, "Fukhu aydiyakum, you're not allowed to retaliate." But in this surah here, Allah Ta'ala revealed the verse, "Udina lil-ladina yuqataluna," because of the oppression that has taken place, you are allowed now to retaliate. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that had this retaliation not taken place, lahuddimat sawami'u. This is the verse to go out and to speak about this verse out to those people also who don't have the full understanding of the Quran and who misinterpret the Quran. Allah says that the reason for this year is لَهُدِّمَتْ صَوَامِعُ وَبِيَعُ وَصَلَوَاتِ. If you did not stand up for your rights, then not only will the masjid be taken and usurped and taken away, but even the places, other places of worship, لَهُدِّمَتْ صَوَامِعُ. Even the churches and the synagogues, they would have not had the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taken in them. So when somebody will stand up in order to stand against dhulam, then that dhulam, to stand up against dhulam, to repel dhulam, does not only help Muslims, but it also helps all those of other creeds too. Those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe they are from other creeds, they are from other religions, but it helps them too. The object of standing up against oppression will help that the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be praised. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be resounding. And Allah mentions specifically, لَهُدِّمَتْ صَوَامِعُ. If this had not taken place, then even the synagogues out there, they would have been brought to the ground, they would have been raised to the ground. وَبِيَعُنْ. And even the churches out there, and the monasteries out there, they would have also been brought to the ground. وَمَسَاجِدُنْ. And even the masajid would have been. But look at Allah Ta'ala mentions, صَوَامِعُ وَبِيَعُ وَمَسَاجِدُنْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the synagogues, and Allah talks about the monasteries, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the masjid. So the reason for standing up against oppression, everyone will benefit. Any person who believes, faith people who are faith, they will benefit. Why? Because Allah's name is mentioned. Zakarullah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is mentioned. And we did, and we performed the sajda. And we noticed the last few days we've been performing sajdas in almost every one of our tarawih. Especially that is in brothers, when we do sajda, the next sajda that happens will take place now in the 19th Tuesday. In fact, tomorrow we will read one sajda. We will read tomorrow? One sajda. First quarter. Alright, so tomorrow we will read one sajda inshaAllah. Alright, so consider this here for a moment. In the sajda ayah that we read today, it's so beautiful. I'm just going to loosely translate. Allah says, "Have you not seen?" Adam Tara, have you not seen? I'm not going to read because we have to make another sajda. Alright, so, you say, "Oh, it's just part of the message." Alright, Allah says, "Have you not seen that for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the sun does sajda, even the moon does sajda?" And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even the mountains, wal-dawab, and even the creatures that are crawling on this earth, they also do sajda for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says at the end, وَكَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ, and many people also do sajda. So the next time we do sajda, my respected brothers and sisters, our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us the hadith is in Muslim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person does sajda, then shaitan ya'taziru. Shaitan goes to one side, وَجَعَلَ يَبْكِي, and he begins to cry, and he begins to wail out. And he says, look at this human being. He has been ordered to do sajda, he did sajda, he becomes the beloved of Allah. I was ordered to do sajda, I did not do sajda, I became the wretched of Allah. I became the one wretched and rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he regrets, and he with regret and with frustration, he goes to one side. So when we do sajda tomorrow, and for that matter all the other sajda tilawah that we do while we are performing while we are reading our tilawah too, then consider this for a moment. I'm doing sajda. Allah has allowed me to do the sajda. Whereas the big, mighty, macro creations of Allah, they are also doing sajda. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ, many of people also do sajda. All the mountains do, the entire sun does, the entire moon does, and all the mountains does, and all the creatures do. But with regard to human beings, Allah ta'ala says, وَكَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ, many amongst the people also do sajda. Now when we do sajda tomorrow, or whenever we do sajda, think that how fortunate am I that I am part of that many people. Allah has made me from that وَكَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. So today I am on the same level of الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ وَالنُّجُومُ وَالْجِبَالُ. Allah tells us what the stars also. I'm just with like the sun and just like the moon and just like the stars and just like all the other creation, but I've also responded by doing such that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, we learn from Surah Al-Mu'minun. Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the beautiful verses, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, the mu'mineen, those who are believers, they are successful. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the characteristic. They are those who are very devout in the salah and various other things. It is mentioned that when these first few verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun were revealed, our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a very beautiful dua. And the dua was linked to, O Allah, grant me your love, and O Allah, you begin to love me. Right? O Allah, you إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي فَحَبِّبْنِي وَفِي نَفْسِي لَكَ رَبِّي فَذَلِّلْنِي وَفِي أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ فَعَظِّمْنِي وَمِنْ سَيِّئِ الْأَخْلَاقِ فَجَنِّبْنِي وَعَلَى صَالِحِ الْأَخْلَاقِ فَقَوِّمْنِي وَعَلَى الْأَعْدَاءِ أَعْدَائِكَ أَعْدَاءِ الْإِسْلَامِ فَانْصُرْنِي. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua, اللهم انصرني ولا تنصر علي. O Allah, help me and do not help anyone against me. Don't make anybody, do not help my enemy against me. Allahumma ansurni wa la tansur alayya. Allahumma ansurni wa la tansur alayya. Wa amkurni wa la tamkur alayya. And O Allah, plan for me and let not the enemies who are out there to ravage my faith, let not their plan work against me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Allah, and grant me hidayah and make hidayah easy for me. And O Allah, wasdul sakhimata sadri, remove any malice and any dirt that I have in my heart. Wasaddid lisani, and O Allah, protect and cleanse and straighten my tongue. The dua that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said after this first few verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun were revealed. And in Surah Al-Mu'minun is that in the first page, please go over the first page of Surah Al-Mu'minun, go through the translation. That's a verse which is, till today, it's a miraculous verse. But every verse of the Quran is always miraculous. But today, even scientists and embryologists, they marvel over this verse here, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the evolution of this human being. How this human being evolves. From what does he evolve? From a dirty drop of fluid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ. We created him from earth, from soil. From soil, which is made, which is mud in fact. And it is such mud that when water is put into it, it gives off a smell, a stench. That's what Allah made us from. Okay? It gives off a smell. And then that mud dries up. And when it dries up, it seems like stone, but actually it is light, because it's just mud. So much so that when you knock against it, it makes a sound. Okay? That's sulalat in between. Then Allah says, now look at the evolution. Allah created you from that mud. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed you as a drop of seminal discharge in a very protected place. Allah kept us in a protected place. On the right moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed that to emerge, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed it in the wombs of our mothers. Then Allah talks about the entire evolution that takes place. ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً. From that drop of the seminal discharge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it into a blood drop. And that's loosely how we translate alaqa. But alaqa, those of our ulama here also, Marana Athar is also here, and many of our hafizahs also here, our ulama will also tell us that alaqa means something which is attached. Something which is attached. And the embryo does get attached to the womb. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah created this blood clot, not just a blood clot which is floating around, but something which becomes attached to the womb. Alaqa. فَقَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً. Then he creates we change from that alaqa, from that drop of congealed blood, we turn into a piece of flesh. ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً فَقَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا. Then within that flesh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates bones from there. And the structure of this human being. فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُلْغَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُلْغَةَ الْعِظَامًا فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْنًا. Then those bones, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then covers them or clothes them. In the word that Allah uses is, Allah clothes them with flesh. فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرًا. And then finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows this marvelous human being to be created from that one drop. And after listening to this here, what's the right thing to say? فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. How great is that Allah who is the best of all creators. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true appreciation. So go over this first page, inshallah, of Surah Al-Mu'minun, the 18th juz, the first page of the 18th juz. Really appreciate it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us appreciation.